Is this okay to preach on? Do you want a music stand? You don't care? We have both. I explained to Dion that we're really casual here. And there's a reason. We're casual because we're just people. I'm not here to try to impress you. That would be a problem to try to do that. So instead, we just try to be as normal as we know how to be. And just have fun and relax. And the only thing we take seriously is the gospel. Don't take myself too seriously, and we don't take ourselves too seriously. We take Jesus Christ seriously because he gave everything. Well, today's Mother's Day. I've written up a special thing that I'd kind of like to read to you. And so today's Mother's Day, and so I want to say happy Mother's Day. And we've discussed that we want to make this kind of Happy Ladies' Day. Because over the years, I've realized that Mother's Day carries with it a mixed bag of emotions. Some ladies have children and get the privilege of being with them on this special day. So for you, this day is rather exciting. Some ladies have children that are distant for various reasons. So for you, this day is challenging because you wait in hopes of hearing from them or seeing them. By the way, if you are that child, you should give your mother a call today and let her know that you love her. Yes? Okay, good. Ladies, you with me? Moms? Okay, good. All right. Some ladies have had to bury children. So this day has a private mourning that you carry deep inside of you. Some ladies have never had children. So for this day, it's difficult because you feel like you are missing something that God has made you for. So in this room, we have a huge mixed bag of emotions going on. We can feel it, can't we now? In general, guys don't get it. Most guys don't dream of having children, while girls are talking about how many children they would like to have. Guys just don't get it. Matter of fact, children are not even close to being on our radar. In fact, if childbirth were up to men, think about this. If childbirth were up to men, we would never have a population problem. And abortion would definitely be illegal because we'd need to populate the place. You follow my train of thinking? The government would have to come up with incentives, I think, for men to have children. Well, if you have one child, we'll give you. In fact, I think if a man that could have children were not able to have children, the conversation between the guys would go something like this. Ha! I dodged that bullet, didn't I? And if we did have children, we would talk about pregnancy like we've gone through a war or something. Oh, man, I'll tell you what, the pain I went through. Look at my stretch marks. I got some stretch marks to show off. And yeah, it'd be a mess, right? Ladies, you know that's true because as soon as the guys get sniffles, we're like, oh, I'm sick. I got to stay home for a month from work. I know. I hear your comments. I've heard it before. I lost track. I think if guys could get pregnant and we'd see a guy losing it emotionally, you know, just slightly emotional, maybe they shed a tear or something, other guys would laugh and say, you must be pregnant. When a guy actually did get pregnant, other men would say, you know, we wouldn't have like a, what are those things called, a baby shower? We wouldn't have a baby shower. Not at all. He'd be like, oh man, I'm really sorry about that. Man, this year is going to be the hardest year of your life. I'm just telling you, the pain you're in for, you're going to gain all this weight, your back's going to be sore, and it's just going to be a mess, and you're going to have these weird cravings and want food, and yeah, it's not going to be good. I'm just telling you what. If it were up to guys, we would change diapers, or actually, we wouldn't change diapers. We would invent a fire hydrant kind of thing that just washed them off while saying, just be a man, will you? we would have three, no more than three outfits for our children. All the same. Jeans, white t-shirt. We wouldn't even do white. We'd be like, nah, I'm not dealing with all that mess. You can have brown. That just matches everything. We would expect them to wear them for at least 3 days before getting changed. We would probably bathe them once a week and brush their teeth at the same time if we had to. Sorry. That's just not... I know. Okay, twice a week. We'll do that. Okay, fine. Being politically correct or something. If it were up to guys, we would have our children married and out of the house at 10. We would not deal with the teenage issues. I'm telling you what. So, ladies, we just want to say thank you. Thanks for putting up with guys that just don't get it. Thanks for being willing, and I mean this truthfully, thanks for being willing to risk it emotionally, physically, and mentally to have children. Thank you for being strong, being creative, being compassionate, and being patient. Thank you for being you. We appreciate it. Well, today we have the Rensburgs with us, and there are missionaries to South Africa. We care about South Africa. We have several missionaries. Matter of fact, from the same family, the Blackwells. Are all there and ministering and starting and planting churches there. We're excited for that. It's great to have the Rensburgs here. And so it took me a while to figure out how to even say their name. I mean, I'm like, I'm going to botch this so bad, and I don't even know if I'm getting it right. But it's Dion, or is that right, or is it, you have like a little bit different accent to it. But anyway, so it's kind of like Dion something something. So Noah had it right. Noah had it right. He's like, man, I don't even know. So just call him Mr. Burger. So I just kind of, I liked it because it's easy for me. And so we got the Burgers with us today. And so we're excited to have the Burgers, the Rensburgs here with us today. And most importantly, they get to serve God in a special way. And before they get to do that, they have to raise the financial support to allow them the freedom to be able to serve in the area that they're in there in South Africa. And so that's what they're doing now. They're going around from church to church because a missionary, could you imagine, well, you've seen this before if you've been here a while, working a full-time job while being a senior pastor. I did this a few years ago. It's about the most stressful thing you can do, and did that for a couple of years, and that's very, very challenging. And so you can't build a church, you can't minister to people, you can't counsel, you can't disciple people effectively and reach people effectively while working a full-time job. And so here's what the church has set up. We try to do everything we can to care for missionaries and pastors, and our pastors here, to be able to give them the freedom to be able to serve God and to proclaim the gospel in the community that they're at. And so that's the goal. Why does a pastor get paid is a big question. I mean, they only work once a week. And missionaries, we're not even sure what they do because they're like on vacation. He's going to South Africa. He's hanging out with all the... Okay, here's the reality. A paycheck only frees us up to do what God has called us to do. And my prayer still here is that Asa would get freed up from his job to be able to be here full time. And I so appreciate all your faithfulness and your giving. This last week, just to let you know, last week we had three trees cut down. We had one that was, I knew it a year ago, and my mind just goes on to something else. And it was dying last year. This year, it was dead. We went out there and we're like, wow, this is really dead. And it was so dead. It was hanging over top of, it was leaning toward the nursery, which is not the best place to have a dead tree, agreed? And we had a tree guy cut one out the back, and he saw this one. He goes, you should get this one done. While they're cutting it down, the tree was breaking literally because it was that rotted. And so we're glad we did that. It cost the church, it cost us $2,500. Now, we didn't put that on a credit card. We didn't borrow money to do that. Here's what happened. Because of the faithfulness of your giving all throughout this year, you've been giving at a level that's over the budget of what we have as need, which is great. So here's what we do. We don't spend it. We save it. That's our goal. So that our goal is so that we can have Asa come on here full time. And so our goal is to reach the community in different ways. We help people out in different ways. That's where our goals are. Well, we were able to literally just write out a check for $2,400 for these trees. And if you think that's expensive, that we did get two quotes. And this one was significantly less than the other quote. And it's because he's is part of the church in some way, and he cares, and he wanted to take care of the church. And so we so appreciate the care there. And I appreciate your generosity. You've been so generous, church, in so many different ways. So thank you for that. And so in the same way, you've been generous with our missionaries this year as well, and we're able to support and have new missionaries coming in, those that are raising support to be able to go and be on the field full time. And so that's a brief blip of where the finances are. And if you're new to the church, or maybe you're new because you're here today as a guest because you're here with mom and mom pressured you and you feel really guilty and you're just doing your dutiful kind of thing and smiling and yeah, it's going to be a great service. And look, I'm just giving you a brief overview of what the church is all about. Maybe you'll look at it a little differently and say, wow, they're actually open about their finances, and they're not pressuring us to give. Maybe they're not all about the money. Well, we're not. Here's what we are all about, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with that, I'm going to have Mr. Dion Rensburg, von Rensburg, come and share a bit of the ministry that they are called to do and share essentially why and encourage us through the word. Thank you.
It's good to be here. Goeiemôre. Dit is 'n voorreg om hier by julle te wees. En ek sê dankie vir die dominee. I'm never getting that. It's good to be here this morning, and I appreciate you having us here. And I thank Pastor Bill for having us, and also the DeBeeses for hosting us. Having three different kids in the house running around screaming, they've been all calm about it. Just surprising. Our kids can take over the place. But I'll try to relax because Pastor Bill said we're not that formal. So I enjoy that too. And let me introduce you to our family. My whole last name is, yes, it is a mouthful. This Janse van Rensburg. And what it means is, Janse means son of Jan. Fun is from the town of Rensburg, which is somewhere between Germany and the Netherlands many, 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 many years ago, back in the 1500s. And I'm, as you would probably say, a sixth generation South African. Is that the way you would say it here? You're a fifth generation Italian or from a certain people group. And my parents, my dad is from Dutch descent, and my mom is from German descent. And in South Africa, they would call me a Heinz 57 kid because I'm from everywhere. And that's our family. I'm, as Pastor said, Dion, and my wife, Michelle. She's been a single missionary on her own, and she was raised in Africa, born there. Knows the culture. She speaks Afrikaans. Don't tell her I said that. She probably speaks Afrikaans better than an Afrikaans person can. So she's my Ruth. If you can imagine what a Ruth is like in the Bible, she's my Ruth. Then we have Ruan, our oldest son. And I'll tell you the story behind his name if you come afterwards and ask me about it. But his name actually means redhead, but there's a whole confusion to that. Then we have Jesse, our sandwich child. He's right in between the other two. And Julia is our youngest. She's 7 months old. And we thank the Lord for this family, and that's our ministry team, if I can say it that way. We can go to the next slide. Thank you. The guys told me that you lost your last pastor because he got strangled on one of these. So I'm not used to this. So I'm just standing still with it. Please, Jamie told me that you can go to, not turn to, because everybody's using a different thing. But if you want to go to or turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, And we're just going to read a few verses before I share a little bit more about what we do in South Africa and who we are. And just to give you a little bit of a background, the Corinthian church, the people there, they had people who they specifically liked. They probably followed different philosophers, they followed different political parties, they followed this group and that group, and Paul noticed that, well, they're doing that the same in the church. Well, I like Paul more because he might have been the apostle that led me to the Lord. Or I like Apollos more because he preaches like Pastor Bill. You know, he says words eloquently. He talks well. He expounds God's word in a way that we understand it. Not like Dion. And but they all chose sides. And Paul here writes the Corinthians in the verses, and he says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed." And Pastor Bill said, well, he joked about pastors only work once a week. Well, every day, their walk of life, when they see somebody, I know you're a pastor, he'll talk to somebody, or, hey, I'm going to be late for this meeting because I'm sharing the gospel with someone. And who are they? It's not Pastor Bill. He's a minister by whom people believe. He wants to share the word of God. And each believer ought to be a minister by whom you believe. We don't need to pick sides or choose who this is or who that is. Paul said, who are these people but by ministers by whom you believed? You know, follow the Lord and what he taught. We can go to the next slide. And many of you think, well, Dion, you're a missionary. You know how that life is. It's easy for you to share the gospel. Or it's easy for you to do that. And you'd be surprised what the Lord can do with any of you, what you share with somebody. But the first thing he has to do is you have to believe that he died on the cross for your sins. You have to be a believer before you can be a minister for him. Michelle had to believe before she served the Lord. I had to believe before I could serve the Lord. The Corinthian church had to believe before they could serve the Lord. You go to the next slide.
John Rensburg, and I am a church planting missionary to South Africa. I was born in Johannesburg, South Africa, and was raised in a Christian home. From a young age, my parents taught me that Jesus came to this world to die for my sin. Only at the age of 12 did I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. 4 years later, in obedience to God's word, I was baptized. At this stage in my life, my dad and I served the Lord at a squatter camp ministry, teaching God's word and teaching Sunday school. At the age of 23, I met my future wife, Michelle. During the first year of our marriage, the Lord spoke to me through his word in verses such as Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, that said, "Whom shall I send?" And also through the prayers of my wife. At this time, I was a draftsman at a railway company, but I knew that I needed to be trained better to serve the Lord. In that year, we moved down to Cape Town so that I could study at the Church Ministries Institute of South Africa. Here I was trained to be a church planting missionary. We also did internship at three different churches during this period. The first church that we did that was Tygerberg Baptiste Gemeente, and then followed by the Pearl Valley Baptist Church and also the Swartland Baptiste Gemeente. To achieve our goal of being church planting missionaries, we went to Atlanta, Georgia to join mission agency Biblical Ministries Worldwide. Later that year, in September, our home church, Friendship Baptist Church of Raleigh, North Carolina, had a commissioning service for us to be church planting missionaries. And we have been on deputation ever since.
How that your IT guy there in the back, he said it's going to look like a bad karate movie. But Jamie said, no, you just tell people that's how you talk in South Africa. How are you? But just if we look at that short video, many of us think we have to be this or that to serve the Lord, and the Lord wants to be you. The Lord can use you. If we can go to the next slide. And Paul challenged us to see the great possibilities for church planting when we work as a team. And Michelle and I were saved to serve. And if you look in your Bibles and you look at the apostles and the disciples, you'd always read two names together, Paul and Timothy, or Paul and Apollos, or Paul and Barnabas, or Priscilla and Aquila. You'll find names, you have people working together. And our goal as church planting missionaries is, we don't go do it on our own. Like your pastor, he has a right-hand man, Asa. He works with you. You work with him. You work together in serving the Lord. And for us, our goal in church planting is to share the gospel, share the good news, share what Jesus did for them, and not keep it for ourselves. The Lord wants us to go out and share the gospel. And I have a strange way of saying this. Lord saved me. He dragged me out of the ocean. He dragged me out to the shore. And he didn't expect me to just lay there and soak up the rays. He got me up so that I can get up and go out and help others. He wants us to do the same thing. And if you think you can't do it, the Lord can do with you more than you think you can do. We can go to the next slide, please. Matteus hoofstuk 4 vers 19, en hy sê vir hulle, kom agter my aan en ek sal julle vissers van mense maak. Noah's looking, he's trying to see what the verse is. Cheating there in the back. You go to the next slide, please. It says, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. When you believe, who you're following? You're following Jesus. And he will make you a fisher of men. It's not really an option. You can either be a good fisherman or a bad fisherman. But the Lord can use you. And no matter what, no matter who you are, if you go to the next slide, please. If we look at the text here that we started reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And we skip to verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And Paul is emphasizing the point here that when you start a church or you plant the church, many a times you won't see the end result. You're there to break the ground. You're there to find the people, evangelize the lost, bring them into the church, and then find somebody in the church to train up so that they can come stand up here and you can go on to the next place and find new people who haven't heard the gospel. Break new ground again. The Lord says make disciples, not converts. He wants us to reach out to the lost. And he wants us to grow people in the Lord, and so they can go out and grow other people and find other people. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Paul says here, he was a master builder, but somebody else builds thereon. Now, many a times people think, well, teamwork is you do this and you do that and we'll get the thing done. But it's not three people pulling on one pole in different directions. It's three people pulling in one direction on the same rope trying to get the job done. The one guy might be on the front of the rope and the other guy's on the back, but they're still pulling in the same direction. And the Lord wants us as believers and church planters and missionaries, each and every one of us, to work together for the Lord. And there's only one way we can build and what foundation we build on, and that's on the next slide. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. nothing else. And to tell you a little bit more about South Africa, I grew up in a society where most of the churches are run by the state. It was called the Dutch Reformed Church. And the way you got saved was you were born, and then your parents took you to church, and then they baptized you. And the pastor said, you're saved, basically. And so people would think, well, they're saved all their lives. But they never came to know Jesus. A lot of people at the age of 16 then, the other way that you get saved is when you're 16 years old, you come in front of the church and they line you up and they ask you a question, do you believe that Jesus died for your sin? And you say yes. And the pastor says, you're saved. I had a friend who said he was going to go to confirmation, they call it confirmation class, and he said to me, I'm going to go up there and say yes. And I said, but you don't believe that. Well, that's what my parents expect me to do. You know, that because my parents went to church, I just do that. That's the right thing to do. And that's not how you get saved. And the other times that people only come back to church is when they get married again. And the Lord wants us to have a relationship with Him. It's not Jesus plus baptism or Jesus plus something else. It's just Him. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said those words. If we can go to the next slide. I think it's another video if I have it right.
Church planting has many different points of focus. Some of these points are evangelism, preaching, and discipleship. Discipleship is one of the key elements in building relationships not only with individuals, but with families as well. As a young church planter, there are many things that I'm learning every day. One of the things that I've noticed are the young people that are often neglected. They represent a majority of the people groups here in our country and also in many developing countries here in Africa. Many teenagers in small and rural towns are often sent to boarding schools where there is no contact with their families. Here in South Africa, there are many things that lead to poor family life. Too many sports activities, the involvement in gangs, and the taking of drugs lead to the degradation of the family. One of our goals during this critical time in teenagers' lives is to keep the family units together through the help of the Lord. Missionaries before us have seen young people come to the Lord and serve Him faithfully in their local churches. This is also our goal. In our youth group this past year, a young boy and a girl accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. We also had a visitor who received a Bible for the first time. She said she'd never seen one and never owned one. This was a great joy. Please pray for us as we have our youth meetings and youth camps throughout the year, that those who come will accept the Lord as their Savior as they hear the Word of God preached. Please pray for us as we focus on the youth work here in South Africa as a part of our church planting ministry.
And we can go to the next slide. To explain to you how parents or certain groups of people stop thinking, well, tomorrow that's your problem. And the Lord wants us to take responsibility and say, well, I'm going to pass this on, which I was taught. Like Paul wrote to Timothy, you should be thankful for what you were taught by your parents and by Paul. And to use a biblical example of that, if you know the story of King Hezekiah, King Hezekiah was a good king. And he came to near the end of his life, and he said to the Lord, Lord, just give me 10 more years of my life. And the Lord said, okay, you can have 10 more years of your life. And the Lord said to him, Hezekiah, it's going to get really bad after you pass away. And Hezekiah said, well, I'm not going to be here. That's not my problem. You know, You know, it's the other people's problem. And we ought to not have that attitude. We ought to be concerned for those who come after us. Because who's going to share the gospel with the ones if we don't teach the ones we have right now? And I'm glad to hear that when you said the young people are going to go out and practice how to share the gospel, I mean, you know, why not? Learn how to serve the Lord. And the Lord wants each and every one of us and people here in the church to be concerned for the younger generation, to share the word with them, to train them up in the Lord, and get them excited about serving the Lord. And the verse 7 says, note, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God gives the increase. God's able to do anything more than we believe we can do. And can we go to the next slide, please? There's a couple up there. His name is Ihu, and his wife is Marisa Kutsia. And that's a couple that came to our church because they got frustrated in their church because nobody wanted to talk to them about having a personal relationship with Jesus. And they came to our church and heard the gospel and came to know the Lord. And Hihu, the gentleman, he phoned me up and says, Dion, I want to find out how this missionary thing works. I'm like, oh, you're phoning the wrong missionary. I'm still figuring it out myself. But just to see that somebody, when you share the gospel with them, young believers are excited about doing things. And he wanted to serve the Lord and pray for them because I need somebody to come and help me because I need help. I need a co-worker to serve the Lord with. And he also is a church planting missionary. He wants to be a church planting missionary, but pray for him so that he can work things out and pray about how to do things. If we read verse 8 in our text, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. We read those verses already, but it says we are one. We work together. We don't work apart. Please, can we go to the next slide? And to understand the people of South Africa is quite complicated sometimes. But to explain it to you real simple. It's a mosaic ministry. It's to everyone. Afrikaans people aren't just one people group. It's all the people groups in South Africa that understand the language. And that's a picture of our young people at our camp. And you can find any person there from different continents, different cultures, but we all speak Afrikaans there in South Africa. So the next video will just tell you a little about South Africa. We call ourselves the Rainbow Nation, and we have everybody from every different people group, and if we can go to that video.
South Africa is often called the Rainbow Nation. The idea of a Rainbow Nation is a multicultured mosaic society. The population is composed of Zulu, Xhosa, and Sotho and Afro-Malaysian people. The British came in the 1860s. The Asiatic Indians came in the 1890s. A German influx arrived between 1850 and 1925. Of course, the foundational population was Dutch and French Huguenots from the days of South Africa's colonial birth in the 1600s. Everyone is familiar with the unfortunate turn in history where apartheid or state segregation brought South Africa to a crisis. In 1994, South Africa elected Nelson Mandela as its first democratically elected president.
The Catholic, Anglican, Methodist, and Dutch Reformed denominations dominated religion as a state church-styled form of Christianity between 1672 and 1972. Independent Baptist and conservative Bible church missionaries began church planting in South Africa in the early 1970s. Michelle and I represent the next generation of church planting missionaries. Where other missionaries have laid the foundation in Jesus Christ, we join them in our commitment to evangelism, discipleship, and leadership training as we plant the next generation of churches. The Afrikaans language was spoken by the European settlers, the Afro-Malaysian people group, and many other African people groups. I am born of Afrikaans parents, and the Afrikaans language is our mother tongue, and our culture is intricately woven in the Dutch and African history. Michelle was born in a missionary home where the Afrikaans language was their adopted language. We speak Afrikaans in our ministry and use English as our second language. We speak both languages. Our ministry is committed to leading other Afrikaans-speaking people to Christ. After our deputation is completed, hopefully by the end of this year, we expect to focus our evangelism and discipleship in South Africa in such a way that the foundations for new churches can be laid. When we first arrive in South Africa, we will begin by surveying and finding the most promising areas of population growth in our language group. Next, we will find a house in that community and begin establishing contacts. The next step is to start building evangelistic relationships. We need churches to stand alongside Michelle and me as we step into this challenging world of lost souls and confused families. We are praying that you will join us in prayer and in financial support.
Well, it took the photographer forever to find a picture where Jason could smile, so that's not one of them. But if we can go to the next slide. And the reason why your pastor and people in your church want you to evangelize is because there are so many people ready to be picked, to be harvested. It says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. There's people out there that you could just walk up to and they will accept the Lord because they're ready. But where Pastor Bill is not enough and Esau is not enough people, he needs somebody to come help him. We can go to the next slide. And this is one of my most encouraging verses as a missionary and as to pastors. It says, Daarom my geliefde broeders, wees standvastig, onbeweeglik, altijd oorvloedig in die werk van die Here, omdat julle weet, omdat julle arbeid in die Here nie te vergeefs is nie. Now that verse really helped me, but I'll let it help you too, because if you change to the next slide, it'll be in English. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And many a times you go to speak to someone and you share the gospel with them and you think, I'm just hitting my head against the wall and I'm not getting anywhere. Well, you don't need to get anywhere. The Lord can do with it what he wants. He's able to do more with that. You think, oh, I failed miserably. But the Lord can still use that. We're weak and he's strong. He's able to do that. And whatever we share with somebody, if we talk to them, say, hey, I go to church at Berean, or let me tell you about our youth group, or hey, let me invite you to our Awana club. You know, the Lord can use that. He can use those things that you think are so small. He can make them do anything. We go to the next slide, please. There's another phrase that is in Afrikaans again. So you don't need to try and figure it out, and you can't translate it out of your Bibles because it's not there. They say, dit is ons erens. Dit is ons hartsbegeerte. That means that's our heart's desire, our urge is the best way I can translate it into English. We were speaking about getting lost in translation on some phrases, and that's the best I can come up with is This is our heart's desire. This is our charge, if you will, is to save souls, share the gospel with people, tell them what Jesus done on the cross for their people. And Ruan, although he's not enlisted yet in the Lord's army yet, we're praying for them that he'd also be in serving the Lord and that he'd accept the Lord as his Savior. So you don't have to go anywhere except your home to start being an evangelist or a missionary. Share the gospel with your family, with your kids, with your neighbors, and the Lord can do with that more than you can think. We go to the next slide. And hey, there it is. If you want to read more about the Rendsburgs or Mr. Berger, I should not make it the Rendsburg Report. I should just call it the Berger Report. You know. thanks, Noah. I need more catchphrases from you. If you want to read more about us, there's a little sign-up sheet in the back. If you want to read more about us, and we'll send out our prayer letters. There's just, I think the picture up there says the boys were helping Michelle help us pack before we came, but they were playing in the suitcases. We couldn't pack up. If we go to the next slide, we have a blog. If you want to go read stories about everyday missionary life, you think we're doing strange things, weird things. We're just normal people too. And to tell you about one of the stories is, as always, Saturday night, the pastor's getting just finalizing things for Sunday morning. He's trying to relax. And it was 11 o'clock at night, and we heard 5 gunshots go off, like right behind our house. And the police station was right behind our house. And we hear people screaming and running out, and I tell Michelle, get down on the floor. And she was 7 months pregnant, so if you can imagine that, it was hard for her to get down. And the next thing that happened is on the blog if you want to go read it. That's how you do all your television programs here, right? I was like, and then OxyClean, you know. But just, you can go there and look and read stories. There's one that we posted the other day where, I mean, there's more wildlife in your backyards than I have in South Africa, you know. Ours is contained to game reserve. There's a story about that too. But if you can see that I'm just a normal person like you, wanting to serve the Lord faithfully. And he wants us to serve him faithfully with whatever and whoever we are, the Lord can use us. We're not supermen or super able to do all these things. We're able because the Lord gives us the strength to do these things. Let me close in prayer for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church, and I thank you. Leave here today that we'll be encouraged, that we will realize that all we need to do is sow the seed and you make the plants grow. We're not able to do that, but you're able to bless.
Thank you, Dion. What a privilege to be able to have them in. And if you'd take out your response cards, we'd like to give you an opportunity every week to respond to what God is doing in your heart. And so within the response card, there's two things here. One is you could check off, I would like to talk with someone about following Jesus. Maybe as you've heard us talk about Jesus, you're like, I'm not getting this. I'd like to talk a little further about that. We'd love to be able to talk further. and help you understand why we do what we do and why we talk about Jesus and take him so serious. Or another one, maybe today you say, you know, I really could use some prayer for, and just share that with us where this goes then. We put this in the offering plate when they take the offering, and or you do, and then at the end, the leadership will get this. We will spend time praying for each of the requests that are on here throughout the week for sure. And if it's your first time here, on the back, if you could fill out the guest information, we'd be honored that you'd fill this out. Give us an opportunity to email you and just thank you for coming. Not a high-pressure kind of a thing, but to be able to just contact you and see if you have any questions to ask us. we're about to take the offering, so while you're filling that out, let me say a couple things. Within the offering, we want to give you an opportunity above your tithes and offerings to be able to bless the Rensburgs. And so we have already designated, set aside some money to cover the travel expenses and such. And so we're giving you the opportunity on top of that, if you'd like to give toward them, if you could mark that on your envelope and just put some extra money in for them. That covers them for this week and such to be able to give them the finances that they need to keep moving forward. And so if you could designate that when you give, we'd appreciate that. And anything that comes to the Rensburgs, we don't take a portion of that. That all goes to them, and we take care of them through that then as well. Next week, we'll be starting a new series, and that new series is called Now What? This is basically a response to our 31-week series through the story. And last week, we had several great comments of people that shared some awesome things that God's been doing with you through the story. And so next week, we're going to go back and say, well, now what? What are we supposed to do with all this information? And so we'll get into that next week. And so if this is, say it's your first time here, you're allowed to come back next week. That doesn't mean you're joining the church. And we won't baptize you unless you ask. And you're welcome to come back here, and we'd just be honored to have you here with us. Now, today's a special day. It's our Ladies' Day, and so we've given out flowers. We've given you, we've rolled out the red carpet treatment for the ladies this morning, right? Yes? It's great, huh? Well, we're going to treat you normal next week now. So this is just the way it goes, right? And so no flowers next week, no candy. We apologize. If you come in, you're like, yo, what happened to all this? It's just one day. That's all. It's just one day. No, really, we'd love to have you come out and be part of that. And so that's a four-week-long series, tremendous series, that Ace and I are both going to be preaching through together and looking forward to what God does through that. And through that series, we're basically going to give you a vision for where we're heading as a church as well through that in the next couple of series. So I think that's all I have to say today. So men, why don't you come forward, give us an opportunity to serve the Lord and worship him through our tithes and offering. And church, again, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to God and giving. I so appreciate it. It's incredible when the tree guys this week said, well, this is what it's going to cost. I just was relaxed and okay. God has already given us the opportunity to take care of this. And we had honestly just transferred money into our savings account thinking, oh, cool, this is great. We have money. Have you ever done that? Literally, one day prior, we transferred that money into a savings account. And then the next day, we found that. And Rebecca's like, well, guess I'm transferring that back. And so isn't that how God works, though? Isn't it great? And we serve a God that really does love and care for us that much. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Thank you, God, for all that you've done. Thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, we pray that you'd pour out your blessing on our lives. Lord, we don't want to be status quo. We don't want to just sit still. Lord, we want to impact this community for your name's sake. And Lord, even this week as we go out to serve in the community for this centennial celebration, we pray that, God, you'd use us to be a huge blessing to this community. Not that we would get from the community, but that we would give and serve. And, God, I pray that you'd use us mightily there. Pray that your name would be glorified and magnified through it. Pray that people would point and say, there's a church that loves Jesus, and there's a Savior that loves me. God, I pray that you would continue to use our church mightily. Use the Rensburg as they go and serve at different churches give them encouragement as they go. Help us to be that encouragement as well. And we'll give you the praise for all that you have done and all that you will do. It's through Jesus I pray. Amen.